or just a convenience
I don't
sort of.
know why. Why would they be a convenience?
Well, let's. What else do we have to talk about?
Hey, guess
I don't know.
what? Guess
What?
what? I hit record. No.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Wait.
I just did it like 5 seconds ago.
Right. Well, welcome to another fantastic episode of the Sick Nasty Deluxe Podcast. I am your host,
Animal
Brendan.
style.
What? Animal
Animal style.
style.
Yeah, totally. I need some of that. I came from
Mean,
California, dude.
it
I need
means
some.
something in California, but it also means something like on the internet, on the tubes, so I don't know.
It's like a euphemism? Do you have to do it on tubes?
Probably.
Oh, dude.
On the tubes.
You gotta get those tubes.
This is episode 9 or 10 or something, I don't know. But Perry's back because he was somewhere and now he's back here because he's
Hi,
back.
everybody. I was in California, home of Arnold,
Animal style.
Ronald, Vinny
What?
the Chopper.
The cleaner animal style thing.
Come to California.
What are you talking about?
That's what Arnold is. Don't you remember those ads where he's like, "Come to California."
No, oh, I don't know why, but when you the first time you say Arnold, I just think of the strongest man in the world from Pete and Pete.
He doesn't really talk a lot. He just kind of
He talks all the time.
he pecks. He does a lot of flexing.
He says, "I all right." Well, he talks all the time.
I mean, you can hear it like popping. I mean, it's like pop, like bam.
Who are
That's a
you
flex.
talking about?
I'm saying when he flexes, it sort of pops, like right into place.
I don't know. Arnie was skinny.
Oh, not in my head.
No, he wore that like l I don't know. Was it a onesie or
I
no?
wouldn't.
I think it was jeans and like a striped shirt.
I
No,
wouldn't
it
say
was.
skinny though. I would say toned.
No, God, no. He was 40 years old. He was bald and he was incredibly skinny.
Brandon, if you
That was the
flipped.
joke.
No, if you flipped a
He
quarter at
didn't look
him,
at all like he was the strongest man in the world, but he was.
he had the strongest heart.
He threw his turtle friend like a million miles because he wanted him to regain his memory or something.
Wait, what? I think I need to watch that show again.
Oh, there was an episode where his best friend, who was just a common boxing turtle, hit his head on a rock and lost his memory.
Wait, is
But
it
there's
a
no way to tell because it was just a stupid turtle.
box turtle or is it a boxing turtle?
Oh, whatever. Those tiny turtles you find everywhere.
Whoa, dude, they're still special.
But anyway, it was his best friend, and he lost his memory, and so little Pete and him were trying to bonk it on its head again, but it was just a stupid turtle. So really what they did was murder a turtle.
Oh, that's not so great.
No. I think they murdered it. I don't know. I think they threw it and it kept walking, but it didn't look good.
It didn't look good from your end.
Didn't look good.
No.
It was a great series.
That is a pretty good series. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I guess we should probably just talk about actual topics of things.
Do we have to?
Well, I mean, you're gonna be angry at me, but I didn't read all of the Avatar book.
What? You got that before everyone else, you fucker.
I know, and I only got through like half of it, and then I started reading other stuff that I had in my pile to read.
Your pile of shit. 'Cause Avatar,
No?
man.
Whoa, I still had the Young Romance stuff to read, and I sort of got back into that.
What was the Young Romance about? Was it about motherfucking Power of Fire? Was it
No,
about
but
that?
there's like a story about like anti-Semitism in it. So I guess that was probably like a Kirby thing, like a Jack Kirby. Like I'm gonna write a story about how some parents hate Jews, so it's hard for a Jew to find a good woman or
Was that
something.
like a Jack
That was
Kirby
sort of the
biography?
moral of it. What?
Was that Jack Kirby's biography?
No. Young Romance was Jack Kirby and Simon. Like they got together and just made these. They invented romance comics in the 40s, and this book is like a compilation of the best ones they made.
Jews in Love, huh? Was that the name
Well,
of the book?
that's only one of the stories. Like, there's so many good ones. There's like this one where the spinster aunt lives with her daughter, and her daughter steals her boyfriend, and then completely dumps him and falls in love with some like 40-year-old dude. And these are like the weirdest stories, and they're being written by Jack Kirby, who is like this hard-ass dude who's in the military in World War II, and he's writing these really cheesy romance stories.
Well, 'cause romance stories were awesome, dude. They're like
Oh, and in the backs of the comics, some of them actually had these fake, like, or, I mean, like, they were real women writing in with their problems, but Jack Kirby would pretend to be a woman, like this auntie something,
Wait, really?
answer, yeah, and he would answer their love questions.
That's really creepy.
It's so weird.
Oh, it's like the old uncle you never want to talk to. Keeps
Somehow,
asking.
like, it's, I thought it would be super campy to read them, but they hold up so well. Like, it's just Kirby's good no matter what he's writing.
I'm pretty sure it's still pretty campy.
I mean, it is, but it's beyond that, though. It's not like I'm laughing at it. Some of the stories are really interesting, and, like, this is before Comics Code, so it's, like, murder and just weird stuff. And even though it's from DC, it's very strange.
I mean, I'm all for the romance comics.
So I guess it's Marvel, yeah.
I mean, they're, you know. I mean, that being said, I mean, I haven't seen that new show. What is it called? Down something, Abbey, whatever.
Downton Abbey?
Yeah, that's not the one.
I mean, new, 2 years old.
Well, whatever. It's still, like, third season or something.
I don't know. Second season's end.
But I feel like that show, at least I haven't seen it, so...
Or maybe really, not it. No, I think there's a few more.
I'm pretty much talking out my butt, but it seems to me that's the same type of serial sort of thing that attracts people. And people are still really into that. And it'd be nice to see more of that stuff. But, you know, superheroes...
Well, no, this stuff wasn't... Like, the Jack Kirby stuff wasn't serial. It was a one-and-done issue each time.
Well, yeah, but I mean... I would figure the plot lines are very soap opera-like. Right?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the appeal.
It is. It is like that soap opera stuff that I guess is still prevalent in soap operas today, but back then I think all romance was like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you want that sort of trashy... I mean, that's like pulp novels. That's why pulp novels used to be so big. It was nice trashy. Why do you think Tarzan was so awesome? Because he had crazy adventures. Crazy adventures.
Speaking of Tarzan.
Yeah. What about
there's an amazing Tarzan tale in Dark Horse Presents number 8. I've been reading. It's like this anthology book they put out every few months or so, and it's like enormous and it's awesome.
Yeah, Dark Horse.
And there's a Tarzan story.
Like, how big is it? Like a freaking like paperback or what is it?
God, I think there's like 6 stories in each issue, and like some of them are serials and some of them are one shots. And Brian Wood's doing one in there called The Massive, which is like this futuristic group of special ops agents. And there's a Tarzan story that's starting in it too. But it's like Tarzan's living in the modern, well, not the modern world, but like the 1940s modern world. And he's got like a suit on, but then he gets like naked to start like doing math. It's really weird. It's supposed to be like after all the books where he's like living in London or something.
Because you have to get naked to do math? Like, is that?
I don't know. I guess it's just, he's like, oh, I'm so cool. And then suddenly all these monkey people jump in, and this wild woman who's speaking French starts screaming at him. And he's like, oh, I can speak French, and I can also speak, like, some sort of ancient Gaian language. And she's like, oh, my God, we can both speak ancient. And it's sort of spiraled out of control from there. But
while he was
I don't really know what I was reading, but it was really, really good.
Do you remember what you were reading?
Yeah, it was some trippy Tarzan tale that I guess is going to keep continuing from there.
All right, fair enough.
There you go.
So back to Avatar. So you only read a little of it. What'd you
I only read a little of it. So I got, I guess I got up to the point where Zuko was freaking out about somebody trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you think about it? Like from that point?
And this, we can talk about this and Adventure Time, because I think it's a good like way to look at both of them, how like, you know, an animated series goes to a comic, which is almost the opposite of how it happens a lot of times.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, like, I liked it. It's not the first Avatar comic I've seen, because they had the Nickelodeon magazine stuff, and there's been other Avatar attempts, but they're always like, during the series, this is a completely new timeline they're making, post Fire War.
Well, and this is supposed to bridge stories together. So the new animated series is coming out. Bridge them.
Although this is still more contemporary to the original series, because it takes place right afterwards, where the new series is going to be 100 years later.
Right. Speaking of which, I feel like we kind of haven't like really explained this whole thing. So this is a new book that's coming out from Dark Horse. Let me see if I actually got it here.
What is that noise?
What? That was my chair.
Oh.
It's squeaky.
Oh, okay.
Squeaky chair.
That's great.
What? Care so squeaky. I can't even find the comic. Man.
Well, whatever. I only read a little bit of it anyway, so not a whole lot to talk about, but I can like speak about the art and just how it was done, and I thought it was very, very good. It was what you'd expect. It's not like it didn't blow me away, and I like where it's going. It just feels like another episode, and they did a very good job sort of translating that.
So I liked it, and I felt like it was a good starting point, but I also kind of feel like, so I don't know if you... Well, did the part happen where... Well, everybody remembers at the end of the season finale of Avatar, so everyone who's a nerd remembers that.
Yeah.
Then he's like, where's my mother? And you're like, oh, well, that's where the story is going to go from here. Kind of cool. Oh, I kind of hope that's what they do with this one. And they don't. They kind of quickly say... They kind of quickly get that line out in this comic, and then they quickly say, well, we're not going in that direction. Screw it.
Oh, really? So they clearly state that they're just not going to discuss the mom in this series?
I think the whole point of the story at this point is... I don't know how much anybody knows really about the Legend of Korra. I kind of know a little bit from what I've read on blog posts and whatnot. So I guess if I'm going by that, I think the whole point is that Aang and Zuko, in order to make peace with all the nations and bring them back together, they make a city that's basically kind of like a international city. So it belongs to all the nations. All right?
Okay.
And so that's the city. And I kind of feel like that's eventually where this whole comic's going to go. They're going to make that city because, you know, Zuko is going crazy again. And that was like
a chair, man, your chair.
What? Is it my chair?
Yeah, your chair is being picked up.
Oh, well, squeaky. Anyway. But
just stop moving around in it.
I just really want to relax.
All right, well, just pick one relaxing position and keep it there.
God, I'm not a man. I mean, wait, I'm not a
animal. All right, you're a robot.
I'm a robot, that's right. No, so anyway, as far as the story goes, shut up! As far as the story goes...
Eat my balls.
Hey,
come on, let's do this.
Later. As far as the story goes, Zuko just seems kind of out of character. Like, he's going crazy, and he's scared of... assassins? Like, why?
Sort of like when he had that dream in that one episode of his two sides fighting that ended up not meaning anything.
Yeah, that didn't really make any
where
sense.
Where it's like, oh, wow, this is it. He's going to be a completely new person now. And no, he was still a dick at the end because he turned in his uncle. And I was like, but I thought he was good. That makes no sense.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, you know, rewatching these series, there's a lot of good stuff and there's a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
And
there's some amazing Zuko moments, but there's some where it's just like, oh my, I don't understand. They didn't explain the motivation here.
Well, that was the thing. I kind of felt like, you know, they didn't focus on any character in particular. It was like all over the place. We got a lot of Zuko, and then we got a little bit of Aang, and then we got like no Toph, and then we got like no Sokka.
Well, this is three books, so maybe they're trying to do this very uncompressed because they've got a lot of room to work with.
I kind of feel like they should have opened it up a little bit. Like, if anything, it should be more about, like, don't even worry about Zuko. We don't need to see his side of the story. Just show me Aang and walk through him. Because I feel like comics don't work.
Well, then you'll never learn anything about Zuko's, history and everything.
Well, that was the thing. If they didn't even mention it, I wouldn't even care. It could have been something like in the back of Zuko's mind. But he brings it up, and it's like, well, thanks for giving that to me and then taking it away.
I mean, that's not the last time you're going to hear about it. They're going to discuss it, but I just don't know how, like, what I really would love is if the new series starts up and the comic keeps going on while the series is going. So there's a comic like to go along with it. Comic could be the comic could be Aang's time and the series could be the future.
I don't know. Well,
I think that would be awesome.
Aang is
dead. You wouldn't need it. You wouldn't need the comic, but the comic's still a great companion piece.
I feel like it's just something to give people while they're waiting for the series. It's kind of like, listen, we know you want the new cartoon. You're not going to get it. Here's this. And by all means, I mean, like, the author, he did American Born Chinese. I don't remember his name, though, which is awful.
You didn't like that? I thought it was good.
No. I said I can't remember his name, which I feel bad about.
Jeez. Okay. I like the art in that a lot, although I don't really relate to the story at all.
No, it's a good comic, but... I just, you know, it's one of these problems, and we'll get into this more with Adventure Time, the comic, but it's one of those things with these TV spinoffs where it can't, because it's a different medium, it's really, really tough for it to be the same kind of feeling you got when you watched the cartoon.
Now, actually, yeah, why don't we jump right to Adventure Time, because I would say that I think that did a better job than even Avatar did in just bringing it to the comic book world. I loved everything about this comic. I thought it was just very, very easy to read. Everything sort of made me laugh. I loved the little editor's comments at the bottom. The art, like, especially like some of the sketches they had like in the front. I loved all of that.
Okay.
I mean, did you not like it?
Well, so here's the thing. Like, the artwork is awesome. It looks fantastic. Like, all the characters look great, especially when they draw them off character, and they make them look really creepy, and it's pretty cool to look at. Especially the second story, where it had, what's the girl?
Oh, no, that was amazing. What?
Tree Trunks. Yeah, Tree Trunks. It was just really, really pretty. It was awesome looking, and it was a great story. Now, here's my thing, though. I really like comic books based on cartoons. Even though, like, you know, I just said, sometimes you don't really get exactly the same feeling. But I feel like one of the problems with that is you shouldn't make it like the cartoon show. Do something that they can't do in the cartoon. Do something that's comic booky. So, for instance, I don't think the comic book Tiny Titans would work as a cartoon show. It works as a nice sort of like comic book series. Works really well. Yeah. I couldn't see that being an animated series. It'd be kind of weird. I don't know. I don't know how well it would work.
Okay, I don't know. I really don't think that there's a barrier between anything as long as you can.
Yeah,
as long as you can adapt it correctly.
And I kind of feel like the Teen Titans Go comic in a couple issues actually did that really well. I can't remember any ones that I really
I think DC's animated comics have always been really good. Yes. I mean, I read the Batman Brave and the Bold. I love it, and I read the Young Justice comic. Those are both really good. I mean, when I was a kid, I read the Batman animated comic.
So you know the Superman animated comics. I think Scott McCloud wrote a couple of those, and I mean, yeah, the Batman animated series. Paul Dini would
write the Batman animated comic all the time.
Right, and it really took on its own. And hell, even Bruce Timm would sometimes draw it. Now, as far as Adventure Time goes, I feel like it does one of those things in the very first one that I kind of don't really like about Adventure... I mean, not about Adventure Time. One of those things I don't really like about TV comic books is that it's a lot of reusing other, like, things from cartoon episodes. So, it brings back the Necromancer guy, and I'm kind of like, well, why? Why would you bring him back at this
point? Sometimes it's fun, though. I think, like, Simpsons Comics does that very well, where they incorporate stuff from the cartoon into the comic.
Yeah, but things are always coming back in those. I kind of feel like Adventure Time, except for its cast of characters, like the main core characters, it's kind of jumping from one thing to the other. I kind of never wanted to see him ever again.
I disagree. I think, and I've actually been doing like a bit of a Adventure Time marathon because I didn't watch most of the third season. Yeah. So I've been watching all the episodes from this last season, and I feel like there's continuity there. There's clearly a sort of idea, not an overarching story or anything, but definitely an idea of a world that they are building.
I just feel like bringing back and then like having to talk about the stupid bubbles on their heads so the Lich doesn't talk to them, and then he does the same thing where he jumps inside of Jake's body so he fights that dude. And
I love that because I wanted more Jake armor. I think that's funny.
It's creepy.
I know. I don't know, and it worked. It somehow made me laugh even more seeing it drawn like that than in the cartoon originally. But see, I thought it was really good.
But see, that's my thing. And then you look at the Tree Trunks comic in the next part, that's completely original. It's got the characters in it, but Tree Trunks has her own little adventure. She finds a mummy. It's creepy. It's kind
of that reminds me, and honestly, just reminds me even that reminds me even more of the Simpsons comics, because they used to do Bart Simpson stories as a second story, and they'd be like they get these really crazy artists to do stuff. And the Treehouse of Horror stuff, like I think this Adventure Time comic is getting it right, like with just how to sort of up the game from the cartoon.
No, I'll definitely keep buying it, especially since they're getting like all these web cartoonists to draw it. I mean, I was just looking through it, and next freaking issue has Emily Carroll and also has Lucy Kinsley, with which obviously I probably just mispronounced her name. They also have the Frank and Becky cover too. I mean, these are all really cool.
Oh yeah.
Cartoonists. This is pretty awesome. But, I mean, it's not like I'm not gonna keep reading it. I want them to come up with their own original stories. Give me original enemies, especially if Ryan North is writing it. By the way, do you know who Ryan North is?
I do not.
He's the guy who writes dinosaur comics.
Oh, God. I think I used to read that, like, in high school and never really cared about it after that.
Oh, he's such a funny writer. I love it.
That was in the days where I read a lot of webcomics, and he was one of them.
Oh, Dinosaur Comics is still funny. You should read it every once in a while.
Meh.
Anyway, but, I mean, like I said, it's not like it's... I feel like it'll get better as time goes on, but, you know, don't even have this other characters again. Just, you know, have the main core cast and go on from there. Make your own stories. Make something up. You know, have some fun. I don't know how much, like, you know, licensing comes into it. Probably not a lot. I can't really imagine, like, one of these guys would actually do something like that. Plus, one of the neat things, too, is that they're just getting random, like, good artists on this. Not just for the covers, but for the comics, too. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think this first issue was a triptych. There were three different covers that connected together if you wanted to collect them. They're really...
There wasn't just that. I mean, like, they're just doing, like, all these multiple covers, and they're doing it with all these great, like, illustrations. I might actually have to try and, like, reserve some of these. But anyway, it's really cool.
There's actually one more sort of comic in the same vein, although it's maybe more in the, it might be considered more in the vein of Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics, the way they're doing it, because this is a canceled TV series, Smallville, that is now going to get a comic.
No, I thought you were going to talk about the whole, like, Buffy's getting an abortion thing.
Oh, no, I think she already had the abortion. That was this last issue, she, talked to Spike, and she's like, can you come with me to get an abortion?
I don't know. Was
that, like, a big deal? Were people complaining about that? Because I thought that was just sort of a normal issue.
I mean, I just saw it in, like, Comics Alliance. I was kind of like, really? Buffy's going to tackle abortion?
The bigger deal in that issue to me was that Spike likes her again.
Oh.
Who cares about the abortion? Spike's going to tell her about his feelings.
Brandon, we all know Spike doesn't have feelings.
He is a champ. But this is the Smallville.
All right.
But I don't know how big a deal it is for you about the creative team, but you know who Brian Q. Miller is, right?
Yeah.
And do you know about his run on Batgirl?
Yeah.
It was, like, incredibly popular, but sort of in this small niche of people. It was a really, really big sleeper hit, basically.
You mean you and everybody on Something Awful?
Oh, really? I don't read Something Awful. I don't know.
Exactly. But,
I mean, the art was amazing. It's the same artist. I always forget his name. But that guy who was the artist is going to be the artist on the Smallville comic. It takes place right at the end and continues the story on. So he's already Superman. He's donned the costume and everything.
So here's the thing. I still haven't picked up Batgirl, but everything I hear about it sounds amazing. I really need to buy it because I'm really... I would say
this was the best series going on at the very end of the DC universe.
Well,
it had the best ending.
For somebody who complains about comics in general, about, like, superhero... Whoops, my pencils.
What was all that?
That was just my pencil, all right? I have a really good mic.
You're making a lot of bad noises.
No! A lot of good noises. People like to know that I'm doing something while I'm talking. Anyway.
All right.
No! So, it's one of those comics I should really pick up.
You should.
But I just haven't.
The trades are all out.
What are you trying to do? Are you, like, trying to give me some Jewish mom guilt?
Go get it.
All right. No, I definitely need to pick it up. But...
I guess you don't have as much connection. You don't really like Smallville. You never read that Batgirl story. So I guess it doesn't...
I don't want to read Smallville. You read Earth 1 or something.
It's not about the creative team. For me, it is about the... I would have picked this up regardless of Brian Q. Miller being on it. But, I told you, like, the last four or five seasons were actually really, really good. Really, really good. Probably the last three were amazing seasons. That was actually when Brian Q. Miller got hired by the show to become, like, one of the big writers for the show. I didn't actually realize that until the final season that he was writing the show.
It makes
complete sense. You had Geoff Johns and Brian Q. Miller writing, like, the last, like, couple seasons of Smallville. It was amazing.
I mean, do you really need a Superman reboot thingy? I mean,
Not a reboot. It's not a reboot. You know this character already.
Yeah, it's Superman.
No, it is Smallville's Clark.
He's the same character.
He's not the same character.
What's different?
There were 10 years of him developing into a completely different character.
What is so different about him? Is he still a goody two-shoes?
Yeah, he is, but he's more. He's more of a goody two-shoes.
He's more of a goody... You're an idiot. I hate you. You're what's wrong with
America.
Also,
Lex Luthor's his best friend.
That is Superboy.
Like, so Lex Luthor's his best friend. No, he's not Superboy. He was never Superboy.
Yes.
He was the Blur.
You're an idiot. I hate you.
The blue blur.
This is the worst.
You're the worst. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing, but it'll only be amazing to me.
I'm so glad everyone is, like, marketing to you, Brandon. I'm very happy for you.
I feel like they must be, because the fact that this comic's happening, it makes me have hope that the Reaper comic will eventually happen. Remember that show? Remember that show from CW that Kevin Smith made about the guy who hunts ghosts and he's the devil's son?
Oh, man.
They were supposed to make a comic of that, like, years ago. They never did.
Yeah, well, you know, Kevin Smith and keeping those, keep getting those comics out on time.
Oh, God, he has a new TV show, by the way. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's on AMC. It's called Comic Book Guys, and it's a reality TV show about his comic book store.
Oh, really?
Huh. It is. That's and they all, apparently they do a podcast, too. It's really sad and makes us look like retards for being comic book fans.
I don't know about you. I'm not a comic book fan.
You're crazy. You are. Picking stuff up in trade. You just evolved. I'm still in the in the tar pits trying to
about issues. I'm hipster fanboy.
No, you're not. Just because nobody knows about a webcomic doesn't make you a hipster. It just means that the webcomic is terrible.
What if I told you I was wearing a scarf right now and it's not cold?
I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what to think. Is that something hipsters do?
I guess. I'm trying to understand even what the word hipster means.
You keep calling me one, but I don't see it.
Brandon, just take it. It's a compliment.
It is.
I don't know.
I think people who read poorly circulated webcomics are just people who have nothing better to do.
Hey, speaking of people having nothing better to do, PS Vita launch. How about that? Did that launch?
Oh. Do I want to buy this just to own it, but I know there's nothing I want to play on it.
Did it launch yet? I don't even know.
No, some of the games have come out, I think, which is weird. But, like, I remember that happened with a system a while. Maybe that happened with the PSP. But there are, like, a bunch of games launched today, and the system comes out next week.
It does?
Yeah.
That's lame.
I know, right? I think I saw Mod Nation Racers at Kmart today, and I... That's a game that actually looks fun. So does the Uncharted. I mean, like, it's not like they don't have good games coming out, but it's expensive and there's no Monster Hunter, and okay. That means I don't want it.
Let's get this down real quick. So Uncharted, first off, buy Uncharted 3. All right, that goes without saying. So
I don't have a PS3.
Well, guess what? Buy a PS3 then.
More expensive.
Number two, Mod Nation Racers. Guess what I found out about the PSV version.
What?
No online racing.
Oh, I know. Half the shit right now is ad hoc only.
Yeah, F that.
Anyway. Which means you have to be in the same room. They better not do that to Monster Hunter.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like, even, like...
There will be shit to pay.
Even the, what did you call it? The Marvel vs. Capcom 3 game isn't that good either, from what I hear.
I know. And there's a Dynasty Warriors game that actually is kind of cool, but I don't know about that either.
Yeah, it's Dynasty Warriors. I mean, you kind of like it or you don't.
Well, I mean, I love those games. If you can put it, but the thing is, that's not online either. It's ad hoc. You have to be in the same room.
Well, F them. What the hell is their problem?
I mean, I just think that, and if you ever, okay, when I was playing on my PSP a lot, like a lot of there was Dissidia, Monster Hunter, and all those games that you want to play with other people. You basically had to hook up a wireless adapter to your computer so that one wireless card took in your game and your system, and the other one sent it back out to the internet and made everybody think that you're playing ad hoc.
No, that was ad hoc. You could play ad hoc.
It was called, like, X-Link Kai.
Yeah, I know.
And it would trick your PSP into ad hoc mode, and then you'd play with people around the world. And it was good, but it was laggy, especially if you're playing with four people, which is the max you could play with.
But I played with ad hoc party for Monster Hunter. It works fine.
Yeah, it does.
It's just like, but why do I still need it?
Yeah, why don't you just build it right into the system? And I don't know why. Like, they could at least lock you to Wi-Fi only. Like, instead of, because I know they have 3G network on some of them. But they don't. And it's maddening, and it makes me worried that the next Monster Hunter game will not be Wi-Fi playable. You'll have to play with people in the same room, or have to do that, the PSP party or whatever.
Let me put it this way.
Which is annoying.
You know you're in trouble when your online strategy is worse than Nintendo's.
Hmm? Well, I don't know. Because, no. Nintendo's is worse because there's just no option. It's so locked in that you couldn't even do what the PSP did.
Okay.
Like, the PSP was so open that people figured out a way to trick it into playing online.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
Can't even do that with a DS.
I'm talking about the PSV, and I'm also talking about the 3DS. 3DS only needs one friend code now. Once you get one friend code,
right, it needs one friend code, but, like, what exactly do you have to play online? You have Mario Kart. That's it.
Yeah, but there's going to be Animal Crossing. There's going to be more games. And actually, Nintendo's making, like, their, like, Nintendo Connect Network, or whatever the hell they want to call it, for DLC. So Nintendo's actually adding things to it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I picked up the Resident Evil game, and I'm liking that a lot. It plays like you're playing Resident Evil 4, and the graphics are pretty close to it.
I hear, like, the multiplayer is actually a lot of fun.
Is there multiplayer in it? I haven't tested
it.
Yeah,
there's multiplayer. It's like, well, kind of like a PSO.
The 3D works pretty well, and it's just a fun game.
Yeah.
So I still haven't even picked up Mario Kart yet, but I've been really digging this Resident Evil game.
I actually got Mario Kart. I really like it. I mean, I like Mario Kart. Mario Kart's kind of my thing.
I'm honestly, like, I love the Nintendo systems, everything. I'm just sick of playing the same franchise over and over. I didn't pick up the new Zelda game. I didn't pick up the remake for the DS. I just haven't picked up any of them because they're all the same.
Well, there isn't a new Zelda game. It was just a remake.
Yeah.
You would like Super Mario Land 3D. That's actually...
No. There was the new one for the Wii.
Oh, yeah. Skyward Sword. I would totally play that. I just haven't played it yet. I need to play that.
I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I've become, like, addicted to new IPs or, like, world building, where you don't just sort of rehash the game, you tell a new story in the same world, like, you know, BioWare games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you have sequels, I just want them to be real sequels and not just, like, a rehash.
I guess. I don't know. I still need to finish Mass Effect 2.
God, you never finished that. I completely fucked up. I did not order the special edition.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Oh no! This is a series where I wanted that.
Yeah, you'll live.
Right. Such a good series.
All right, let's keep going down the line.
What?
What's the next one you want to talk about? Oh yeah, actually, you know
farts?
What? No, well, that's I didn't write.
You wrote
that.
Farts in the script.
Did I also mention more farts? Anyway, no. Actually, since we're talking about BioWare a little bit, did you play the Mass Effect demo?
I didn't download it yet. I've been busy with Old Republic.
Is it co-op?
What?
Is it co-op?
It is. It's supposed to be an online demo. That's all it is.
So we need to play that. Like,
I know we do.
So when we're done this podcast, we'll play it.
All right. That sounds like a good idea.
I don't have Xbox Gold.
Well, then we can't play it.
Why would you tell me that we could play it? And
oh, no, no, wait. I think there's something about getting free Xbox Gold just to play the demo. I actually heard that.
What?
It was for Mass Effect and for Kingdoms of Amalur.
What?
Yeah. Why don't you look into that shit? All right. Well, that's a separate factor. I haven't played it yet. If you have to play it to get the special armor, too, so you're going to want to get...
What? Yeah. Mass Effect 3 demo includes free Xbox Live Gold.
Oh, you saw that?
Yep. I just read it. What?
Weird,
I got it.
Right?
Oh, it's only for a week. We're playing it after this.
So, Walking Dead. Do you watch the show?
No, actually, I don't.
I watched it for the first season, and I dug it. I liked how they were going in a different direction. The second season sort of started off slow, and that pretty much took me out of it. I didn't care. And then I watched a little more of it. I didn't care at all anymore. And then it came back from its break, the mid-season break, and I watched a little more, and people really dug it, but I think I'm just done. I don't care. I would rather read the comic, and I don't need another side story to it.
Let me put it this way. When it comes to zombie stuff, the only zombie thing that actually interests me right now is Naughty Dog's thing, which was Left Behind, or what was it called? The ones
what?
Who left? What's Naughty Dog's new game called?
What are you talking about?
Naughty Dog.
Crash Bandicoot Zombie Wars?
No. What? No.
That's right. Isn't that what it is?
I'm trying to look it up right now. What is it called?
I'm positive it's a Crash Bandicoot game.
You know what? Maybe.
Okay.
That's no, they made Jack and Daxter. Oh, The Last of Us.
They made a lot of things.
The Last of Us. There you go. That's the only zombie thing I care about. I don't even know if they're zombies. I really don't.
You don't care either.
I don't, because it's Naughty Dog, and everything they make is gold, and I will buy it.
I don't know if that's true.
Why? Why, Brandon?
Well, first off, I think there are lots of good zombie things. Walking Dead is amazing. Although,
yeah.
You know, might not be around forever with Tony Moore, the original artist, is suing Kirkman.
Why would you walk and be dead? You gotta run.
It's, you know, the real Walking Dead are the people who aren't dead. Yeah, that, there's Whoa. Some shit, deep shit in the story.
There's a lot of shit.
That's pretty deep. So yeah, I mean, but so Tony Moore did the first six issues of art with Kirkman writing it, yeah. And then it was, you know, switched off to that dude who ended up doing like 80 issues in a row. It was amazing. Like they just, but like Tony Moore did help create it, so he's been put on as, and he was always like considered the one of the creators. He's in the front of the comic. It was always created by Kirkman and Moore, and then you also in the TV series it said created by Kirkman and Moore. Although recently, I think the other artist who's been doing it forever is also on the TV's listing and on the comics listing. But for some reason, even though they have all these rights and Tony Moore's been getting paid, he apparently still thinks he's not getting enough rights and is due more money and is suing Kirkman. And I don't know exactly who the bad guy is here, but I just, you know. It feels like it's another bullshit like lawsuit over nothing. I'm sick of all these creator lawsuits, and I get that they need their rights, but like they're suing other creators now. They're not suing companies.
Well, I mean, Kirkman's kind of a company.
First off, Tony Moore's like Kirkman didn't have a company when Tony Moore and him were working together. They worked together a long time ago. They've been friends forever. I'm kind of sad that they're having this breakup over Walking Dead, but. Like, I mean, they're both very successful separately, and I know that doesn't mean you're making a whole, you're probably only still making like 50 grand a year being a successful comic book writer and artist, but it seems strange that this kind of lawsuit's happening. It's one thing for like, you know, the Schusters to sue DC, but it's another for like one creator to sue another creator. It reminds me of when Neil Gaiman was suing, and I think this was actually more of a legitimate lawsuit when Neil Gaiman was suing Todd McFarlane over the medieval Spawn rights.
Let's see. It sounds like Moore feels like he's not getting enough money.
Yeah, but there have been public times where he's like said he's happy with the deal, and it feels very out of nowhere. This just happened last week.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's just troubling because I love Moore. His work is amazing. And it's just when you get people like this, you know, when you have somebody that you like a lot, like I know a lot of people from the 70s and 80s were really sad with Wally Wood's weirdness and Steve Ditko's crazy. Just when your creators go insane.
I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know enough about information to really talk about it, but...
Well, I mean, like, that's definitely true. Like, we don't know exactly what's going on between them.
I mean, there's crazy stuff getting thrown left and right on this kind of stuff all the time. Did you read about did you see all that stuff that happened about Static Shock going under and the creators, like, going crazy at each other?
Yeah. I talked about it in one of the previous episodes that you weren't on. I was very upset by that.
Well, thanks for bringing that up.
It's true. Like, I was, you know how much I love Static Shock. I was heartbroken by that whole thing, and just, there's nobody to blame in that situation, because really what it was editors' oversight. They left him alone with some editors that thought they knew what they were doing, and they really didn't, and they fucked it all up. And too many writers got in, and the original guy who was supposed to have fun writing the series got screwed over.
Yeah, well, you know.
And it's unfortunate, but, like, in the end, it's just terrible luck and no goddamn oversight. It's really, if nothing else, like, you just have to blame one random editor that was working with him and fire him. See if that fixes it.
I don't know. I mean, you can't really blame the editor. Everybody's trying to, like, save the sinking ship.
No, exactly. But, like, what they should have done was just give him the book and leave him alone, but they didn't.
I think it's only one of those cases where you kind of wonder what could have been done, and then you kind of sit back and you think, and there's really nothing you could have done. I mean,
well, no, I mean, like, there was stuff that could have not been done, though.
Yes.
Like, they could have not added a second writer, Scott McDaniel, who then ruined the story, and added sister clones and shit. It was painful to read, because I was reading every issue as it came out, and it was just, every time I was like, why did they make this choice? And then, around the fifth issue, that editorial came out from the original writer, who explained what had happened, why it was bad, and suddenly it clicked. You're like, okay, now it makes sense, but could we have done anything about it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of one of those things where, like, stuff like that falls apart. I kind of wondered how well Static Shot was, like, what, like, kind of shot was Static Shot given in the first place?
And I don't think it was given any shot. And that's what really sucks about it is, like, they took a property that a lot of people love. And this is in the wake of Dwayne McDuffie's death.
Yeah.
The guy who created the character. And you think they would have been a lot more respectful with it and, like, put it as, like, one of the highlighted books. I mean, it seems like they're trying to make this universe with teen heroes. They're doing the Teen Titans book and the Ravagers book. And Supergirl's not really part of it, but you have the... You also have Superboy is really tied into it, too. And so they're making this whole universe, and Blue Beetle, I think, is going to be tied into it as well.
But let's even get beyond that. The whole New 52 thing was supposed to be about a new, diverse, more modern, like, superhero world. And Static Shock has, like, one of the most diverse casts.
He's perfect. They shouldn't have taken him out of New York. It was really weird to people who actually liked the character originally. They shouldn't have put him in New York. He's from Dakota City, right, which is like a made up city that I think is supposed to be like Chicago.
I don't know.
It's like a Midwest shitty city.
I mean,
to me, and that's where he's supposed to be. You put him in New York, and it feels weird.
Well, I mean, they can put him in New York. They can do whatever the hell they want with him. But I don't know. He had a very a lot of like different types of people in his comic. It was very much, I don't know, it was
good. I mean, but before you had that Moises kid in Ultimate Spider-Man, Static Shock was the Black Spider-Man.
Well, I don't
He was the kid who just didn't, know how to fit in, was pretty nerdy, but like none of, he lived in a really shitty area and there was lots of crime.
I feel like Static Shock was a good comic for a more modern kind of, like, more diverse type of superhero field. Like, there was pretty much, like, every single ethnic group was talked about in that. At least not what I remember. Now,
granted, it was Milestone Comics. Every ethnic group was pretty much covered. And Static became the figurehead of that whole universe. All the comics crossed over into his. And so he had all the characters.
There a character called the Majority or something? Or the Minority?
There was Hardware, there was Gear, there was
No, there's a guy who had like the M. Was his name Milestone? There was like the main like guy who was kinda like Superman.
I don't know. I didn't read a whole lot of the stuff. I read pretty much only the old Static stuff, and then I read his crossover. There was a sort of a Milestone JSA. I can't remember the name of it now though.
Yeah.
It was like a Justice Society. Just all the Milestone guys. What?
I really liked the Static Shock cartoon, and it got really good towards the end. Although, I didn't really like how his best friend became a superhero. That was kind of lame.
Gear? Yeah, it was a little weird.
That was stupid. Anyway, but Static Shock was a good comic old.
And I love the... I mean, I've talked about all this already, but I just like the way that the cartoon weaved into the whole Paul Dini-Bruce Timm universe, too.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I mean, it's very surprising, because it was a completely different studio making Static Shock.
Well, it was still Warner Brothers, but yeah.
Yeah, it was a different, like, animation studio, though.
Anyway, so yeah, there was that. So, let's see. What else was going on this past week? I don't even know. I don't even know what's going on.
Not a whole lot else. I can talk about a few really good series that have started up. I always scream about how amazing Rick Remender is and how lucky Marvel is to have him there. On his work on X-Force and Venom. He's doing a new book, which is an old book that just didn't know what the hell it was doing, and that's Secret Avengers, which was being written by Brubaker, but Brubaker didn't do shit with it. Then Warren Ellis came on for a couple of one-shots, and they were actually really fun, but they were just one-shots. It didn't mean anything. And then apparently Rick Remender got put on the book, and he's had two issues, like a .1 issue, which is like a starter issue, and then an actual issue.
Wait,
and
.1?
Oh, God. Do you not know about .1s?
No.
You really have been out of comics for a while. This is for the past year or so, when Marvel's wanted to say that they're doing a new storyline, like a big new storyline for a series, they'll give it a .1 issue, and it'll be the last issue's number with a .1. So, actually, just this week, there was a Spider-Man 679.1.
Wait, but...
Meaning new storyline alert!
Wait, but if it's... Why would it be .1? Wouldn't it be, like, .5 because it's the middle?
No, that's actually complicated because another guy at Vertigo, you know about The Unwritten, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Another
comic I need to read.
Yeah, Mike Casey, the writer for that, has been doing 0.5 issues. And it's actually because he wants a double ship.
Right.
He's been getting out 2 comics a month, but because he wants to get the story out, so he's been doing 0.5 issues. And that makes more sense. Although, I understand what he's doing, and I understand what Marvel's doing.
No, but I understand what Marvel's doing. Marvel just wants to make money. At least Carey sounds like he's just trying to add more story to it.
Yeah, he's trying to add more story, and that's, you know what? His comic's good enough. I don't care if I'm buying it twice a month. It's just that good.
Okay, so here's the thing.
But sometimes I hate it. Marvel's double ships are terrible.
Well, wait a second. You buy storylines twice anyway, because doesn't, like, Amazing Spider-Man come out every week?
You know, it's sort of twice a month now, I think. I don't know. I think they slowed it down.
Anyway, but, so, you know what the 0.1 thing is? It's just the stupid thing that DC did with the 25-cent issue, where they would start new storylines with 25-cent issues.
But they've done this for a long time over this entire year. Now, here's the truly worst one. Rick Remender is writing the Venom book. There was a Venom, like, issue 13.1, where they had him team up with X-23, the Wolverine clone.
How long are these comics, by the way? Are they, like, normal-sized comics?
They're a normal issue, yeah.
Okay.
And they actually, for the most part, I think they actually count as that month's issue.
That sucks.
These 0.1 issues are not, like, it's almost hard to distinguish them from an actual issue, except that they're supposed to be a marking point, but they're really just another issue. It's retarded. It's really retarded.
This is a selling point, so they can do, like, alternative comics. I mean, here's
the weirdest one. Yeah. For this month, Venom came out with issue 13.1, in which he teams up with the new Ghost Rider, which is some girl. I don't know anything about her, except they're trying to, guess, give her a story here. X-23, which is actually a character I really like. That's the girl Wolverine clone.
I know.
And then they have Red She-Hulk, who you know about being Betty Ross.
Yeah.
And so they all team up as some new superhero group, I guess, that they're trying to do. But it's really just them fighting some crime. I can't even remember the exact story of the first issue that came out, but there's going to be a 13.2, a 13.3, and a 13.4. One coming out each week this whole month. And basically, it's going to be like one continuous story for the whole month, written by a different writer. But I only wanted to read the Remender one, and that's over. So now I feel like I'm almost on the hook for these like 4 issues this whole month, and I don't want to read any of it. But I don't know if it's going to affect the Venom story next month.
That's how they get you.
It's so evil. Like,
that's how they make their money, Brandon.
Like,
drinks.
They're written by people that I really don't care about at all. But Remender is writing the final issue of the series, so I don't know what I'm doing.
God,
I think I'm gonna I think I'm gonna actually buy the second issue, but it's just like it's so weird to do this. And a 13.4 issue, where do you put that in your long box?
Why would you even? Okay, first off, shut up about the long boxes.
I don't have one, but I'm just saying, like, how do you organize this? It's bullshit.
As I turn and look at my own long box and cry a little inside.
I'm digital, baby. I don't do that at all.
I need to get rid of these comics. This sounds like awful. Would you watch a TV show if they said, hey, listen, this is not the new episode. This is 14.1. And granted, it's just a number, but...
Hey, Degrassi sort of did that. They did an episode a night for a while, like, well, soap opera style.
Guess what? Fuck Degrassi, all right? I said it. Nobody likes Canada.
But you're also not paying 4 times a month for a comic instead of once a month.
Yeah.
When it comes to a TV show, I would be happy to have a TV show I like on multiple times. But when you have a comic you like come out multiple times a month, you feel obligated to buy it. You can't say that you wouldn't, you know, buy a comic you've been loving every time it comes out. And then when it comes out that often and it's charged $4 a piece, it's absurd. What? Like, it's just, I feel like, I know, right?
No, my point is, it's just like, God, how much, and it's not about quantity, it's about quality, right?
And the thing is, like, these might be quality stories, but I don't know if that even makes up for it, though, because the price is just unacceptable no matter how good they are.
Well, okay, let's look at it from, let's be devil's advocate, all right? Do you think Marvel's trying to mimic something like with not Marvel. Okay, is Marvel trying to mimic, like, manga? Like, trying to be like Japanese comics where they come out weekly?
I don't think so. I mean, it worked really well for Spider-Man, and they kept the price at $3. So they're making a lot of money on Spider-Man for 2 years while it came out every week.
Yeah, but the Spider-Man every week thing, when they kept switching writers, and it was just like, it was great. It wasn't. There was like,
you can't say that you weren't like, oh, that was an awesome story. Oh, next week it's Mark Waid. Oh, and this next week it's Marcos Martín doing the art.
Yeah, but then sometimes you would get an entire lull where you didn't like the story team.
Honestly, that happened very rarely. Like, you had Zeb Wells doing it. I loved his stuff. Dan Slott was awesome.
There was good stuff and there was bad
stuff. There was some bad stuff. I'm trying to remember. It was a Black Cat story arc that was terrible.
Yeah, I just never really liked the Black. I mean, that's one of those characters I just never liked, the Black
Cat. I don't
Cat.
Like her either. And there was a recent crossover with Spider-Man and Daredevil with the Black Cat, and I didn't like that either.
You know, it's kind of the same problem I have with Catwoman. You know, like, out of all the women in Gotham, why does Batman care about Catwoman at all? Like, she's just some two-bit.
There are very few Catwoman stories I like. One is her character in Batman Year One. Yeah. And the other is the Darwin Cook stuff. That's it.
No, I mean, so here's the thing. I actually like Catwoman as a character. I think she's awesome. But I just don't see why Batman would be like... I mean, he's got a freaking, like, princess devil lady. I mean, he's...
Who?
Wonder Woman loves him. Talia. Talia loves him. He's got Wonder Woman.
First off, Wonder Woman's really only in the cartoon.
No, they brought it over to the comics.
I guess near the end. You know what it was? Somebody was writing the comic... And I remember Paul Dini didn't like it because he was trying to get Batman to hook up with Zatanna. But there was another writer who was writing Batman comics who was trying... I think it was Grant Morrison was trying to get Batman and Wonder Woman together.
I mean, so when it comes to it... And this is amazing that we're talking about Batman's love life. But when it comes to it, I like the idea of Talia or Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman seems like a better fit.
Talia's evil. It would never be Talia.
But Wonder Woman makes sense. Like, Wonder Woman and...
Catwoman's not evil, though. Catwoman has a good heart. She's just a criminal.
She's a jewel thief.
Who does murder occasionally.
It doesn't, like, I don't know. Catwoman just seems... She's can be interesting, but why would Batman ever be
I've heard amazing things, actually, about her comic. After the first issue with that shock value sex scene, like, I've only heard good things about the art and the story. I just don't have the heart to pick it up or the money.
I'm not gonna ever read that. They killed it with that, where she bones him, and it's just like, god damn, it's so awful. And also, Batman, you know what? That cover scene, you look like you're a terrible lay. It just looks like you sit there. You gotta move, alright? For the ladies.
That just reminds me of the, did you read Batman Incorporated when it was coming out?
Yeah, I need to pick up the
There was like that I think it was the second issue where he was coming to visit the Japanese Batman that he wanted to hire. And
right, Catwoman was in it.
Yeah, and he walked in, and Catwoman was in this like seat over this octopus tank, and like the villain lets her into the tank, and she falls in, and Batman like jumps in, and it's Catwoman and Batman fighting a giant octopus. It's so crazy. That's the kind of stuff that like. When he's with Catwoman, I love those sort of scenes where they're both fighting like some insane villain together. Yeah, and that's what sort of happened in like the old Catwoman comics.
Where did
she
get like her like? So Batman had to train for years to become a great martial artist, and he gets beat up by this woman who just like puts on a catsuit.
If you go by Frank Miller's thing, she was a prostitute too.
Oh yeah, fantastic. Because you know what? Whatever. It's just you know if you read a Frank Miller story and the girl isn't a prostitute, she's probably gonna be dead.
I think she's still probably dead. I'm not reading the comic, but I thought she was also a prostitute in the news stuff too.
I guess she's a prostitute.
Or you know, an ex-prostitute. I don't know.
Listen, I don't really care about.
Do you really ever get out of the business, Perry? Do you really? You know what I mean?
I mean, Julia Roberts did.
They keep dragging me back in.
And also, by the way, Pretty Woman prostitution doesn't happen. I'm just gonna say it. I don't think that happens.
I think it does.
Brandon, Richard Gere is not going to take you away from all this.
Well, no, okay, so what you're saying is prostitution does happen, but you never get saved from it.
Right, you never get that Richard Gere moment. Is that who was in that movie, by the way?
Richard Gere.
Gere?
Gere.
Gere?
Yeah.
Gere-rear?
The Buddhist, the Tibetan Buddhist who sticks gerbils up his butt.
What?
Jeez, you don't know anything.
I just haven't read all that beautiful, beautiful tabloidisms. Tabloids,
okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Hey, why aren't you on Old Republic?
Hey, because it's awful.
Oh, why?
Because
I think it's amazing. because it's BioWare, and the story is sexy.
I don't know. Should we really be talking about this? We're at, like, the 54 minutes. Why don't we talk about this next time?
Ah, oh, you're such a bitch.
Hey! Hey! What? That's my word. You can't use that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's your people's word.
Yeah, exactly. Bitchin'.
The bitch people.
All right, so you've wasted another hour listening to... What's this show called?
Hey, don't forget to go onto iTunes and give us a rating or and review on, you know, the iTunes for Sick Nasty Deluxe Podcast, because it helps people find us and it helps with my self-esteem. So I stop slowly murdering myself with tiny cuts all over my body.
Oh, I thought those were like freckles.
No, it's I'm trying to serial kill myself.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Huh. How's it going?
Well, it's taking a long time, but, you know, you keep at it. You're a serial killer. It's
I hear if you do
one,
it too much.
One cut at a time.
I hear if you do it too much, you might half-ass it. Wait, half-ass? Yeah, that was a joke. There you go.
I don't understand.
Listen.
You know they caught that ass stabber in Peru.
They did? Really?
Yeah, they caught that guy who cuts asses in Peru. He was apparently at a mall in Peru cutting asses. Yep. We finally got him.
Oh, thank God.
Yep.
Man.
So he was from Peru, apparently.
That's where they always are from?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why was he cutting asses?
I don't know. All right. This is Sick Nasty Deluxe Podcast. Signing out. Stardate something.
Really? That's lame.
Yeah. Was that not?
That's over.